Well, today marks day four of the release of this latest tranche of previously sealed state papers at the National Archives. And again today, the files offer new insights into a variety of subjects. RTE journalists Fiacra O'Kiona, Harry Manning and Evelyn O'Rourke have been trawling through the files which relate to government papers. Evelyn joins us now to discuss them in more detail. Evelyn, let's start with the letters from the father of Billy Wright. We read in the files that he was campaigning for a public inquiry into the death of his son. Just remind us a little bit about this story.
Yeah, so these letters show that David Wright, the father of Billy Wright, the former Loyalist Volunteer Force leader, that he was, as you say, looking for support for an inquiry into his son's death. And he'd written that the Irish government was indulging in selective justice as he campaigned for that inquiry. Just a quick reminder, Billy Wright, known as King Rat, he'd been shot dead by three Republican prisoners at the Mays prison, where he was also a prisoner in 1997. And then in 1998, three members of the Irish National Liberation Army were convicted of his murder and given life sentences. So in this letter, included in the files, that's written by Billy Wright's father David to the then Taoiseach Bertie Ahern on the 3rd of March 1999, he alleged that parties other than those three men convicted of the murder were actively involved in the killing, which is why he wanted to formally meet with Mr. Ahern. So on the 4th of May, he wrote once again to Mr. Ahern, where he claimed that while he'd received an acknowledgement of that first letter, there had been, and I quote, no indication whatsoever is your willingness or otherwise to meet with me. He made reference, Fiona, to Mr. Ahern meeting at short notice Paul Nelson, husband of Rosemary Nelson, the human rights lawyer who'd been killed in 1999. He also highlighted recent remarks made by Mr. Ahern in relation to the death of Pat Finucan as well. So in the letter, which is marked by department officials as for your urgent attention, he wrote, I'm at a loss to understand why I'm not afforded the same courtesy. He goes on to say, with reluctance and disappointment, I and my family can only assume it's because we are not part of the nationalist community in this part of Ireland. And if this is the case, it would appear so, the Irish government is guilty of indulging in selective justice and adopting a discriminatory attitude towards my section of the community. However, officials in the department also have the letter there saying that due to heavy schedule commitments, the Taoiseach couldn't accede to the request to meet him, but they offer that representatives from the department would meet him and the family.
Now, the next file under the spotlight relates to discussion among senior government ministers. The then Taoiseach Dick Spring was intent on rolling out a new Ethics in Public Office Act. What did we learn about those discussions?
Indeed, the files released now show that that proposed act at the time, back in 1993, was met with opposition, with concerns from leading Fianna Fáil members of Cabinet, including the then Minister for Finance, Bertie Ahern, and his Fianna Fáil party colleague, Minister David Andrews. Now, the background to this act was that it rose really from the sense of the erosion of public confidence in the political system due to controversies including the Beef Tribunal, and the then Taoiseach Mr. Spring said he was determined to address those issues, establish trust and transparency and so forth. So the Act was developed as a measure really that would require things like office holders, including TDs and senators, senior public servants, to disclose financial interests and gifts, as well as different procedures like that, also providing for the establishment of the Standards and Public Office Commission, SIPO as we know it, and a register of interest. But these files then show that the then Minister for Finance, Bertie Ahern, had issues with the draft legislation, and in the section headlined Observations of the Minister for Finance, we read then that, and I'm quoting here, that the Minister objects to the creation of the Commission, the creation of a select committee on members' interests, the requirement for office holders to declare the interests of spouses and children, and the provisions regarding directors of state bodies. And the files go on to note that the grounds for his objections to the commission appear to be based largely on concerns that its activities would impact adversely on the abilities of ministers and state bodies to discharge their responsibilities in relation to discipline and conduct in the public sector. And the documents also state that the argument was that the proposed involvement of that commission could be counterproductive and would dissipate responsibility for these matters. Now, Mr. Spring is noted in the file as saying that he understood the concerns, but he regarded the commission as an essential element of the legislation for a number of reasons. Minister for Defence and the Marine, David Andrews, another senior Fianna Fáil party member, of course, also questioned the proposals and claimed the legislation was very extreme and quite unwarranted. The Ethics and Public Office Act ultimately came into effect in 1995.
Well, in a case of the more things change, the more they stay the same, Evelyn, the never-ending quest for U2 tickets made it into the official government files. In this case, it seems the Department of Foreign Affairs was really looking forward to getting very good seats during the Joshua Tree tour.
Yes, papers today confirm that we've been looking for tickets for U2 for nearly 40 years at this point. This goes back to a document of the files where U2's manager Paul McGuinness had lunch with officials from the Department of Foreign Affairs. They had what was described as a useful conversation where they discussed possible mutual cooperation cooperation towards the benefit of Ireland's image abroad, because of course you two were storming America at the time, so this was a good thing. And part of this new relationship between the band and officials from the DFA meant that a selection of much sought after tickets for the nearly 80 gigs across America would be on offer, with the reference that you two would gladly make available a certain number, this is key, in the document, brackets 50 to 60 of backstage tickets for the ambassadors or different diplomats. Now, never have brackets done more heavy lifting, because later correspondence shows that officials may have been a little over-enthusiastic in their invitation and guest list, with one clarification the file suggesting that the number 50 to 60 was across a number of dates in each city and not per concert. So then a text in the files confirms the band was offering 10 tickets per show because they couldn't handle the larger number. This response then was sent from an Irish official based in America, stating that the limit of these has put us in an embarrassing situation. But a response from HQ a few days later says, "You will appreciate that there is little that can be done about U-turn by the band in this matter. Why not ask your contact if you could put more than 10 per night on your list if situation is embarrassing." Ouch.
Always read the small print. Thanks very much indeed, Evelyn. And for more details on these stories and other files released this week, you can visit www.rte.ie.